Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. Can y'all hear me now? All right. Much better. Now, I'm getting feedback now. Bless God. Hallelujah. We are in the second of a sermon series on getting set free in order to love God and to love people. Freedom of loving. You know, we talked about freedom of giving, freedom of living. Well, now we're talking about freedom of loving. Look at your neighbor and say, I love you. And this morning, we're looking at the freedom that's available to every believer to serve others. Where did you get that idea? Just turn left in your Bible one page. Look at Galatians 5 and look at verse 13. Galatians 5:13 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty." That's freedom. "Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." Here's what we're supposed to do with this freedom. "But through love, serve one another." That's what we're called to do. That's what we're called to do. That is what we are called to do. Now, back in the Revolutionary War period, there was a man on horseback, a civilian on horseback, and he was riding through town, and he noticed some soldiers were repairing a small defensive barrier. And so he stopped, and all he could hear was their leader screaming at him. They didn't have enough men to get the work done, and this guy's screaming. And so the man on horseback said, "Sir, why don't you go down and help him?" And the soldier looked at the civilian. He said, "Sir, I'm a corporal." And so the man on horseback apologized and dismounted and went down and started helping these soldiers who were overworked and underpaid and worn out and exhausted. When they finally finished repairing that defensive barricade, the civilian came back, got on his horseback and looked at the corporal and said, "Mr. Corporal, the next time you have a job to do and you don't have enough men to do it, just call the commander-in-chief, and I'll come and help you." That man's name was George Washington. He got it. He understood we're to serve others. Jesus said, "If anyone among you desires to be great, let him be your servant. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." And so I want to talk about the freedom that we have in serving others this morning. Look at your neighbor and tell them it's all about serving. Now just say the word with me, others. Others. That's the key word. All right. Now, I just want to give you three quick points if you're taking sermon notes or whatever. First of all, serving others comes with a promise. It comes with a promise. Serving others, and here's the promise. "Let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap." If you got that, that's the promise. You got to stay with the stuff. You got to keep serving others. And the Bible talks incessantly about seed time and harvest. Right? Y'all heard of the law of the harvest? Well, there's kind of three subpoints under the law of the harvest. You're going to reap what you sow. Well, if I put down just a little bitty grain or a seed of corn in the ground and get proper sunlight and a little fertilization maybe and a lot of rainfall, what are you going to get? You're going to get some corn. Isn't that amazing? So you sow corn and you're going to reap corn. But also, you're most of the time going to reap later than you sow. It takes a little while once you put that corn in that seed of corn in the ground. It takes a little while for you to reap a harvest. So you're going to reap later than you sow. And then also in this law of the harvest deal, you're going to reap much more than you sow. I don't know how many grains of heads of grain there are in an ear of corn, but you put that corn in the ground, you put that seed in the ground, eventually it's going to reap a great harvest. Because, man, I don't know how many ears do you get on a... 3 ears?
One seed will produce a stalk in 3 years.
Say that again.
One seed in the ground will put a stalk up for 3 years.
And okay. My question was, how many ears on a stalk?
Three.
3 ears on one stalk.
Correct.
Man, I could have sworn I saw about a half a dozen on one stalk one time. Anyways, the point is, you're going to get more. You're going to sow much more. The more you sow, the more you reap. You're going to reap a great harvest. Y'all with me now? Man, not only is the sound system going downhill, my mind's going downhill this morning. Now, let me kind of give you this illustration about serving others and how the law of the harvest works. Back in spring of 2019, some tornadoes hit North Clarksville. And we were decided to have a MoCo day. Y'all know what MoCo day is? Some of you don't. But it literally means Second Mile loves Montgomery County. And so we went out to North Clarksville that Saturday, and we took several teams with us. And, you know, there was a lot of debris and a lot of destruction, trees down, debris everywhere. And at least two of our teams stopped and helped a little widowed lady. She had a big tree down in her yard. I think David and Tammy Kilgore were there. I think the Millikens were there. I think Paul and Peggy were there. And they cut up this huge tree, hauled off all the debris in her yard, and did some other things for her. Well, several months later, Rick Stevens calls me. And he says, "We've got a sister church that sure does need your help." I said, "Who is it?" He said, "Kenwood Baptist Church." So I went out there to talk to them in this first meeting. And I said, "Now, I think our church would vote to help you all and to come alongside you, but we need to be the decision makers because they're down to about 15 or 16 people. They're not in debt, but they can't pay their bills anymore." And so I said, "We need to be the decision." And I didn't know that they were incorporated. And when two corporations merge, one of them has to dissolve. And so we started talking about some of these things, and all of a sudden this little widowed lady stood up. And she said, "Well, I'm all for Second Mile merging or adopting or whatever y'all want to do with Kenwood Baptist Church." I said, "Really?" She said, "Yeah. Back about 6 months ago, some of your people were out in my yard, and they did a wonderful work. And because several of our folks were out meeting the needs of a widowed lady that day, we received 4 acres, 3 buildings, and didn't pay a dime for it. And since that point in time, they've had dozens and dozens of people saved." You understand what the principle here we're talking about? The promise is, you will reap what you sow. And if you're sowing good seeds and serving others, you're going to reap a great harvest. Y'all with me so far? Now, you may not understand this or know this or heard of this yet, but this coming Saturday, everybody in this church house and on our church roll has an opportunity to go serve others. Second Mile loves MoCo Day. Coming up from 9 to noon this coming Saturday. And we're going to do a lot of different things. I just spoke with our laundromat ministers. The Vadens, they've got a big jug of quarters, and you can go with them to some of the laundromats and pass out quarters and get in some gospel conversations with people. We're going to do a lot of different things, and you need to just sign up on a team. We'll be in elderly people's yards and helping them out. Katie tells me we're going to be at the soccer field handing out some things and being a blessing to folks. Maybe you know of somebody that needs some painting done at their house. Or maybe you know somebody that their handicap ramp needs to be stained. Or maybe you'd love to just take some food to some of our EMTs and policemen and our first responders, that kind of thing. There's all kinds of things that we're going to do. You could go pick up trash in a neighborhood. When I was working with college kids down in Waynesboro, we used to go clean bathrooms at Minute March. Just serving other people. And so, and then nursing homes. How many of y'all, well, none of y'all have been a resident in a nursing home, I don't think. But bless God, hospitals, nursing homes, retirement places, we ought to be in those places from time to time. Some of y'all are great at doing manicures and pedicures, cutting hair, whatever. We can go be a blessing to the nurse. So after this service, Katie is going to be in the back, and I want everybody in here to sign up on a team where you can go serve others. Why? Because you're going to reap a great harvest. That's why. All right. And by the way, if that's what Jesus was doing, serving others, hello? Hello? That's what we ought to be doing. And so there's the first thing I wanted to glean from this passage of Scripture. Secondly, serving others not only comes with a promise, it comes with a priority. Did you notice it? Did you catch it? Let's go back to Galatians 6. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Your King James may say, faint not. Serving others, I'm just going to be real, real truthful. It's hard work. And the old devil, he's going to try to get you to quit and give up and not do it. He don't want to see us loving on people in Montgomery County. He don't want to see that. And it'll cost you your time. It'll cost you your treasure. And by the way, it ain't your treasure, it's his. Okay, we've already learned that. And it'll cost you your talent. It'll cost you a lot of things. But the priority has to still be there. I'm not going to quit. I'm going to keep serving others. That's got to be our priority. I heard this in a... And for those of you that were at the Jim Symbol event, forgive me. But I wanted to share. He shared a testimony with me that has to do with this very point. It's too soon to quit. It's too soon to give up. Don't get weary in well-doing. Pastor Symbolist Church up in Brooklyn on Easter and Christmas has they do a lot of great things there, but they'll have 3-4 services on those Sundays because they've got a lot of folks coming. And the choir does some great numbers. I mean, they do some spirit-filled music and stuff. And then he usually has one or two people that come and give a powerful testimony about salvation. And then after that, Pastor Symbol will get up and share the gospel message with people. He'll just share the gospel with people. And then they'll have an altar time, and people just start coming forward and to pray. Some of them come forward to get saved. Some of them come forward for their baptism. And so this is the last service, he says, of the day. I think it was probably their fourth service, and he hadn't had anything to eat. It's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and he's tired and he's worn out. And so the service is almost over. The altar's been flooded. People have been saved. Folks are being counseled, and he just sits down, he said, right there on the altar, loosened his tie, opened up his collar, and he's got his head down, and then he looks up, and he said, there he is. Right there in the middle aisle, a homeless man. And Pastor Symbol said, you know, I'm worn out. I'm exhausted. And they have a protocol. They don't just give cash out to people. But he was so tired and worn out, he said, well, I know this guy wants some money, so I'll just give him a $10 bill and we'll be done. And then this homeless man stepped forward. And Pastor Symbol asked him, I think his name was Alfonso, isn't that what he said, y'all? And he said, what's your name? And he said, Alfonso. And he said, Pastor Symbol said, aren't you living in a shelter? He said, no, I don't believe in shelters. I don't like shelters. He said, where'd you sleep last night? And he said, in an empty truck. And he'd been laying on the sidewalk out by the Brooklyn Tabernacle Church, laying in urine. And the doors that Easter morning had been open, and so he heard all this gospel music. He heard all this Spirit-filled, and got up and came in at the very end of the service, and he heard the testimonies. And so Pastor Cimbala is fishing around in his pocket, and he pulls out a $10 bill, and Alfonso steps forward. He said, "Sir, I don't want your money. I need this Jesus that you're talking about, because I'm going to die out here on the streets." And Pastor Cimbala right then was cut to the heart, and he started bawling and crying profusely. And then the homeless man, Alfonso, started crying. And the pastor said he had the worst smell about him that I've ever smelled. He said he was 5 feet from me, and I could smell feces and urine and sweat and alcohol. Worst smell I've ever had. And so he asked Alfonso to forgive him. And the two stepped forward and they embraced for several minutes. And they're both crying. And Pastor Simmel said, "It was like God told me that's the smell of this world that I died for." And so the next day, they got Alfonso in detox. And he went through that and got clean and sober. And then Pastor Cimbala gave him a job at the church. And then just really so they could, he could really get, you know, he spent some time discipling Alfonso. And he said that day he met Alfonso, he thought he was like 50 in his 50s. And the guy was 32 years old. But once he got clean and sober, he said he looked like somebody fresh off of GQ magazine. And he said, "I just gave it." And so he just started pouring into him and serving Alfonso. He would come over to their house on holidays and things. He said, "He gave me a handkerchief one Christmas, best gift I've ever gotten." That's what it's all about. Amen. It's got to be a priority for us, because you're going to get tired of it. You're going to get worn out, but that's when God is really getting ready to move. And so, I'm so blessed to pastor a church that wants to help meet the needs of others. We're starting up a good news club out at Moore School. I wish some more of y'all would sign up. Would just come tell me. You don't have to sign up. Just come tell me. I'll serve. On a Tuesday afternoon for a couple of hours and lead some kids to Jesus. So serving others comes with a promise. You're going to reap what you sow. And serving others comes with a priority. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. And then thirdly, serving others comes with a principle. Now, I want you to see this, because I've said everything that I've said up to now to get to this point. Are you ready? I'm ready. Look at verse 10. Comes with a principle. "Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men." That's everybody. That's outreach. That's out in the community. That's MoCo Day. That's doing outreach in the community. But he said, "But especially to those who are of the household of faith." Look at your neighbor or whoever you're sitting close to and say, "That's you.
That's you.
You're the household of faith." 1 Timothy 5:8 says that a man who will not take care of his family is worse than an unbeliever. Serving others starts right here in our church family. We serve the needs of the folks here first, but not exclusively. We call that inreach. And we're still doing outreach. We do both. Let us do good unto all men, but especially to the. I can't recall the quote, but Dr. Roger Freeman used to say, "The light that shines brightest is the light that shines brightest at home." We got to take care of our church family first. All right? And listen to this. This is why, y'all see this table back here? This is why I think it's Mary Ann and Leilani, maybe a couple of others. We set up these tables for expectant mothers to bring gifts in. And folks who have just been recently married or engaged. That's caring for one another. That's serving one another. This is why our hospitality, one of the hardest working teams, ministry teams in our church is the hospitality team. And this is why we do meal trains for folks who are having surgeries and people in our church who are suffering, people who've been in the hospital. We'll do meal trains. And then we also feed families after a funeral here so we can minister life to our church family. This is why we do so many things here, because we need to minister to the body of Christ. We do in-reach and outreach. This is why we do. How many of you love Second Sunday brunch? Can I just say this? Don't get mad at me. But get here early enough where you can eat before worship. And if you stain one of these brand new chairs with something, they are expensive and you're going to write a check. Okay? But this is why we do Second Sunday brunch. So we can love on one another. So that we can care for one another and have fellowship. Are y'all with me? This is why we send kids to church camp and D-Now. This is why we're paying for a lot of kids to go to Hearts on Fire. We minister to our church family. This is why our deacons minister to the widows, along with a couple other ladies that help them. But about once a month, we minister to our widowed ladies. And they do a great job. Our deacons also have a prayer ministry of healing. They'll come to your house and pray healing over your home. It's the best kept secret in Second Mile Church. But this is what we're talking about here. We are doing ministry. We're serving the needs of others. And we start with our church family. And that's called inreach. And then we go outside the church walls and do outreach. Now, you need a balance. If you're heavy on one, the other suffers, right? So you need both. And that's what Jesus has called us to do. And I could have mentioned 100 other things that we do to minister to our church family. I was talking to somebody this morning, and they said, oh, we just love this church. Well, do you know why they love this church? It's not because I'm such a fireball pastor. It's because y'all love on people. It's because we serve others. You with me? And so that's the principle. We do good unto all men, but especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let me close with this. I wanted to get through a little bit early today. Let me close with this. How many of you folks went to Israel with me? A few of you. Peggy, did you and Paul go down to the Dead Sea? Wasn't that an amazing thing? Did y'all know it's almost impossible to drown in the Dead Sea? You can get in the Dead Sea waters and just sit up like you're sitting in a chair. It's something else because it's so salty that it just lifts you up. And so it was an amazing thing. And you come out of there, ladies, like you've had a beauty treatment. All the minerals and the salt and all that stuff. But here's something I found out. There is no life in the Dead Sea. None. No fish. No creepy crawlers. No plant life. Nothing. It's dead. And you know what I found out? The reason that it's dead? Well, they have a tremendous amount of water coming into the Dead Sea from up north. And from the Jordan River and other tributaries. And so they have plenty of water coming in, but there's no outlet. The Dead Sea just takes in and never gives out. And here's the principle for us this morning. You can come to church Sunday after Sunday. Take your little sermon notes. Come to stay for Bible study. You can even have your own study, the scriptures yourself at home. You can come to the second Sunday brunch. You can take in everything we've got here for you. But if you're not giving out, if you're not letting the love flow out of you into others, you're going to be like the Dead Sea, lifeless and unproductive. But here's where I am with all this. I believe you all that are here this morning, I believe everybody in here wants to make a difference for Jesus. You really want to make a difference for Jesus. And so we're going to take just a moment to let the Spirit of God move on your heart. And Katie's going to be in the back after the offering. And you go tell her what you want to do, who you want to serve. And she'll put you down. And it's okay if we don't have a team to do that right now. You can be the team. And we'll get it done. But we're going to be out in the community next Saturday. And who knows, you remember, you're going to reap what you sow. Who knows what God's going to do with our service to others? Who knows? And bless God, we are not going to get weary. We're not going to faint. We're going to stay with the stuff. And we're going to reap a great harvest. And we're going to keep loving on our church family. Father, it's decision time here at Second Mile Church. And I don't know what you want to do with this message today. It's been a short message, but it's been pretty much in your face. And here's the thing, Father. If Jesus came to serve other people, and he did, over and over and over again, this is exactly what we should be doing. And there are some here that can't do a whole lot anymore, but they can sit down next Saturday and write cards and letters of encouragement to people that are hurting. There is always something we can do for people. And so help us to get others on our hearts today. Because that's what's on the heart of our great Savior. I'm just going to open up this altar now, and I'm going to pray for you as you come and ask God as you come to give you a vision for who it is that you need to be serving, who you need to be loving on. Some of you don't serve on a ministry team in our church. Hey, you can do that today. You don't even have to be a church member to serve here. Father, bless this time of obedience today. God, help us to understand what it means to love others. Jesus set the example for us. He left heaven and came to this old sin-cursed planet and spent his life serving other people. And now he sent us, we've got his Spirit that lives within us. And we have the power to serve others. Oh God, would this be a watershed moment for Second Mile Church? Help us to make this a priority. We've already got the promise. And we already know the principle that's laid out. Help us to make this a priority. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn of response. And if God's touched your heart with someone or somebody, I want to just ask you to step out of your comfort zone and come and just lift that person up and ask God to use you. Now, if you need Jesus today, you come up here and grab me, and brother, sister, we'll sit down and we'll lead you to Jesus, and you can walk out of here ready to serve him. Father, bless this time together now in Jesus' name. Andrew, what are we going to sing?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.